And then I said to him, hey, how about it? You know, I got some tickets to take Mom up to Northern Michigan for the weekend. And, you know, honestly, I don't really feel like going. How about if I just gave him the tickets to you? And let's forget a test trial. Why don't we just get the whole truckload in here?
Are you trying to buy me, Joe?
No, it's no big deal. You know, but I mean, in the context of our little role play there, it was a very natural thing. I had the American Institute of Coloration guarantee that our stuff was 99.99% guaranteed to be the same color throughout, guaranteed. And I had the Institute's report right there. Who is this Institute again? By, you know?
American Color.
Yeah, the Color Guarantee Institute, yeah. That's an engineering firm down the road that I hired to come in and certify that my material was 99.99%. You know, is that illegal to do that? No, but it's very helpful. It is what they call... No.
It's also very biased because you paid them money to certify your material.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Same thing with a magazine article. You know, that's one thing that I noticed, that I hate to go down a negative path, but one of the things that you discussed a couple times was, you know, reading magazines and certain publications. And
sure.
Certain magazines, you know, you got to figure, and I like to equate this back to hunting magazines because it's something that I've read a lot about over the years, and I know Odie has as well. And what you got to figure, when this guy's writing about this particular gun or this tree stand or this widget or whatever,
somebody's paying him to do it.
That SOB's been paid to
do it. Absolutely.
You've got to keep that in mind.
You're absolutely right. Most of those articles are written by guys that are paid to write them. You're absolutely right.
Just an observation.
Yeah, this is true. But there's still some value in looking at those things as well. But there is a term in negotiations where you provide a substantiating standard. And that's can be... And it can always be taken apart and analyzed and so on and so forth. But in most situations, if you have some kind of a standard, like, for example, in your cases, you can use test data reports. And right. And you can use that. And it's all part of, you know, trying to promote your stuff. And that's part of selling. And that's what we do. Okay. Any other comments or questions there? All right. Now we're talking about... selling in a down market. So if you would, please move over. The first part of selling in a down market has to do with developing strategic linkages. Now, let me tell you the first time I ever was exposed to a strategic linkage. I was a Cub Scout. No, I was a Boy Scout. I was a Cub Scout also, but I was a Boy Scout. And this is what happened. We wanted to go on a trip. So the camp master said, well, look, in order to go on this trip, we got to have $500 or whatever it was. And so we said, well, why don't we do what the Girl Scouts do? They sell cookies. Why don't we get something and we'll sell these things? So that's what we did. We decided we're going to do this and we did it. So I actually had a business as a newspaper boy. I used to deliver newspapers. And so I had a lot of customers, and I thought, you know, I'm going to win this thing. I got all my customers that I sell newspapers to and stuff, and I'm going to win this the prize, you know. I'm going to sell more of this stuff than anybody else. And I'm going to win. So now my buddy sold like 5 boxes. Hey, Joe, how much did you sell? I got 6, you know, wow. You know, and I was like 40, you know. I was thinking, yeah, I'm winning this thing for sure. And anyhow, at the end of the thing, the guy that won it sold 680 boxes. And I had sold like maybe 50, you know, and all my friends were like 4 or 3 or something like that. So, you know, I'm like, that's not possible. Not possible. So I asked the guy, I said, how did you sell 682 boxes? And he goes, oh, my dad's got a bar. So I set up a little stand in the bar, and it was an honor roll thing, and I just put the cases of candy there or whatever it was we sold, and then I just went home. The guy didn't do any work at all. He had a strategic linkage, though. That's what he had. That's what that is called, a strategic linkage. What was a strategic linkage? Yeah.
Oh,
huh? Well, yeah. Maybe so, but
everybody gets hungry, I'm serious.
Yeah, that's true. But he was using a strategic linkage, was his father and the bar, to promote that stuff. Were you going to make a comment?
Yes. I don't know if it's still around, but I've heard that from one of the sales guys out here. He said, back in the days, if you brought scrap inserts, you could pay that at the bar.
Really?
Yeah, like you bought a 10-pack of scrap inserts, you get a free beer.
Yeah,
and then the bar owner took that and sold the scrap or whatever.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, and I do know that scrap was selling carbide was like $2 a pound or something like that. And it wasn't. It was not hard to get to that. So I do know I had a customer where they stole. They had a big barrel, steel barrel, and they had it full with scrap, and it was gone. Because I remember going in through and sorting it out, trying to see what their failure mechanisms were, and I saw this huge barrel, and somebody stole a thing. How they got it out of there? Here's another strategic linkage that I used to use when I was in the field. If you go into like an industrial complex or an industrial park, there might be a bunch of businesses, let's say, are in this area, in this industrial park, and they might look something like this, and maybe you're selling to this guy. Well, if you are, usually those guys know each other. So you ought to ask where you're selling, hey, in this little industrial park, do you know anybody else over here that might be able to use my stuff?